10 past 8. The Morning Show with Greg Berg is next. Support for the WGTD Morning Show comes from Jack Andrea, Kenosha's hometown store since 1911. They may be closed, but they have not lost their hometown spirit. Visit jackandrea.com to shop their exclusive hometown collection, including Kenosha t-shirts, sweatshirts, and mugs. jackandrea.com. The Morning Show with Greg Berg is next.
And we welcome you to the Wednesday Morning Show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. It is always a pleasure to welcome back to the program for his monthly visit, Dr. Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College. And we're going to be having for most of the hour today a very, very important conversation related to COVID-19. And in particular, we're going to be finding out about how Racine County and the Racine Unified School District are seeking to contend with all of the serious complications and challenges posed by the pandemic. And so a little bit later on, we're honored to have with us Jonathan Delagrave, the Racine County Executive, and Dr. Eric Gallion, who is Superintendent of the Racine Unified School District. We'll welcome them in just a moment. First, President Albrecht, we welcome you back to the program. I know that one of the things you want to tell our listeners about is a really interesting and even moving drive-through graduation exercise that you were part of. Tell our listeners about that.
Well, thank you, Greg. It's always a pleasure to be a part of your program, and I just want to thank you and the entire team at WGTD. Just some exceptional recognition over this last year, 5 national awards for programming, 2 Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards. So you all deserve a great round of applause and our appreciation as a community for continuing to be a great gateway to public radio. So thank you for that. And I'm just waiting for our morning show hosting President Albrecht to win one of those awards.
No kidding.
But if we don't, always know that we have our own Fab Lab and we can print our own up if we need to, Greg. Okay. But thanks for your leadership. But the drive-through graduation parades, you know, when we switched to a virtual graduation commencement ceremony because of the pandemic, we wanted to find a way to continue to acknowledge and recognize the students that have completed their certificates, diplomas, and degrees here at Gateway. And I think I reminded our community in an op-ed letter that we had over 1,500 associate degree graduates this year, which is one of the largest graduating classes that we've had in many years here at Gateway. And if you add the diploma and certificate programs, it's over 3,000 graduates. Wow. So that is pretty comprehensive when you think about the size and scope that Gateway's providing as far as developing a workforce and the technical skills. So to help celebrate that, of course, we did some really great things with the, you know, diplomas and certificates in the virtual ceremony, guest speakers and so on. But that wasn't enough. So our Student Government Association planned these drive-through parades that you've probably have seen on television or in the media, social media especially, that are happening at high schools as well. And we picked the 2 hottest days of the year. So it was over 90 degrees. And, you know, we gave cookies away and the frosting all melted, but it all turned out great. And I was really proud to be a part of it. And the good news for me is I didn't have to wear my robe, you know, those can get pretty heavy and hot. So I was able to be a little bit cooler, but it was really nice to see the smiles on the faces of our graduates and to thank them one more time and just to help celebrate this great milestone in their life. And what was so inspiring for me is it wasn't just the graduate. I mean, they brought a carload of family members and, you know, we had a place where they could get out of the car and take their picture. And it was really, I think, something that will be a good positive memory for many grads that participated. We have 1 event left over on the Elkhorn campus. So we did this Kenosha campus, the Racine area. And now we're going to next week be over in Elkhorn to finish it up. But it's always great to be able to recognize graduates. And it was a fun way to do it this year to be outside.
Well, trying to find fun in a not so fun situation, that makes a lot of sense. So very good. Speaking of fun, it's always fun when you can welcome donations and grants that make a positive difference in the financial picture for Gateway. And I know you have a couple of different gifts to Gateway that you want to tell us about.
I do. Thank you, Greg. Well, last month, actually, I think we celebrated an amazing contribution, over $500,000 from the SC Johnson Fund to help support the HOPE program. These are fully funded scholarships to pay for tuition fees, books, some funding to help transition adults back into the workforce as a result of COVID-19 and some of the challenges of dislocated workers. And I'll just report out on that all of the sections that we've opened up so far are full. So we'll be able to really, really take advantage of that contribution by SC Johnson. We followed that up this month with another gift from Fisk Johnson himself. So I wanted to publicly thank Fisk for not only the corporate support, but also his personal support. This is a $400,000 gift to help develop a new academy in advanced manufacturing for high school students. So we're helping to build that talent pipeline in advanced manufacturing, Industry 4.0, robotics, automation, all the things that we've talked about when we established the iMed Center. Now we've got a financial base for the academic training that goes along with it. So we are really excited. I know our school districts are excited. I know Racine Unified already has several students that have enrolled in that particular program. They're going to receive credits. Many of those students will get a college degree at the same time, or maybe even before they graduate from high school, as a result of this financial gift and the support that Fisk has continued to show our community in challenging times. So that was great. And then we were real fortunate also to receive a large gift from the Lumina Foundation. This is over $400,000 to help support the implementation of embedded industry skill credentials. So we have a great partnership with a lot of industries that allow us to offer their industry credential. So it might be a Snap-on certification, a multimeter, might be a manufacturing certificate by Greenlee. And those certificates have really built a base to align academic programs with industry occupational skill certifications. And we've talked about that a little bit on the program. That's the key for a technical degree, right? Not only that you have good skills, but it's also measured in industry in some way. So this is going to give us a chance to help demonstrate and put the data elements that are going to be collected around the country, and Gateway will be the hub for that, to really continue to elevate the idea of portable, stackable credentials aligned with industry to help people find their place in the job market in a more robust way. So those two gifts are really helping to transform the way we think about workforce preparation, and we'll continue to work on that industry alignment and those partnerships. And I might just add one other announcement that I'll share with our audience today. Last week, we finalized our agreement with Rockwell Automation, and Gateway will be offering the AAM program. That's an industry credential from Rockwell geared toward veterans. So there's only one other place that this is offered, and that's at Rockwell headquarters in Milwaukee. We're the first two-year technical college in the country to begin partnering with Rockwell to offer this certification. So veterans, we're taking applications now for that. It gives you a degree from Gateway as well as a certification directly from Rockwell and a supply chain of job networks that they already are working with. So great announcements around financial support for individuals to re-engage in workforce training.
Fantastic. I know before we get to our guests today, you want to tell our listeners about a new vice president at Gateway who has just come aboard.
I do. Actually, I'm going to make two announcements. And one is I want to thank Bill White. Bill has been a vice president for us for over 15 years, and he's retiring at the end of this month. I know he listens to the program. So Bill, from me, from our college, and I'll say from the entire Gateway community, thanks for all that you've done for us and to help us celebrate the work that you're doing. We want to acknowledge your leadership in our community over many, many years. So congratulations to your retirement. And I also want to recognize and announce Dr. Tammy Summers as our new Vice President for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. No more important time than right now to begin to raise that conversation around the importance of inclusiveness and making sure that Gateway is doing everything we can to support all of our students, all of our staff, and the broader community of Southeast Wisconsin. Dr. Summers has a wealth of experience in this arena. served as a director here at the College for Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, leads our strategic planning effort in that area, and now has been tapped on the shoulder a few times to help a statewide committee begin to think about the college's role in making sure that we are being responsive to some of the challenges that our communities are facing. I'm excited for Tammy. She's going to do a terrific job, and I know that our community will benefit from her leadership.
Very good. So President Albrecht, tell our listeners about the invitation that you extended to our two very special guests today, and how grateful you are, as I am, that they both accepted the invitation.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, it was a Zoom meeting similar to what we're having this radio show on. I was visiting with Jonathan about some initiatives and how we can strengthen the educational experience for our youth through connected systems, whether it's sort of a Wi-Fi system or alignment of programs like we've just talked about with some of these grants. But what can we do to strengthen our educational system so that we can better prepare the workforce and really then begin to build a systemic strategy for Racine County? And Jonathan's leading an initiative to help us expand some of our Wi-Fi networks in the area. And I thought that would be a good topic. And I said, would you be willing to share that with our community? So that's why Jonathan is here. He's been a great friend for Gateway and a great visionary for our county. And the core to that is really making sure that families are engaged in this conversation. And Dr. Gallion has been holding community forums and listening sessions to hear from families on what some of the challenges are. And we know that, especially right now, there's a lot of discussion around what will school look like when we come back. And we all know that it's going to look different and it's going to feel different. And we need to respond as a community differently in order to create points of access for youth, but also for their families, so that we can continue to support the great educational learning platforms that we've had in Racine for so many years. So we've got the superintendent and the county executive with us today to help us all better understand what we can do to help support these initiatives.
Fantastic. So again, we're really delighted and honored that joining us today, Dr. Eric Gallion, who is superintendent for the Racine Unified School District, and Jonathan Delagrave, who is Racine County Executive. Gentlemen, thank you to both of you for being part of the morning show today.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. Dr. Gallion, of course, we're going to spend most of our time digging into the pandemic, COVID-19, and all of those specific challenges. But I suspect there are at least a few other things that we can talk about in terms of Racine Unified and some of what you and your colleagues managed to accomplish over the past year pre-COVID-19. So tell us what you'd like to brag about.
So our biggest accomplishment has been the graduating class of the Academies of Racine. And I am really proud that we have been able to launch our fourth year and have a graduating class of the Academies of Racine. We've seen a lot of academic growth there. We've seen a lot of opportunities where students could be involved in the various youth apprenticeships. We've seen a big growth in apprenticeships. And so one of the big accomplishments of the Academies has been we've almost broke the barrier of about 200 youth apprentices.
Wow.
And so that's been a big accomplishment. Our biggest goal is to do 300. And you know, now the COVID situation may set us back a little bit, but I'm optimistic that we can continue to grow. And so just getting our kids those opportunities is just amazing, you know?
Yeah, Eric, I am always impressed when I hear the results of the Academies of Racine, the model. It was a big change for the school district, and now we're seeing that community engagement at a much higher level. I know at Gateway, we partner in helping develop the dual credit programs, but one thing that really sticks out in my mind is the work we're doing with the Real School, in which those students actually are on the campus of the IMET Center. And I think that awareness for youth about what opportunities are available, whether it's through a youth apprenticeship program, co-op program, the See Your Future initiative, all of those exposure experiences help to clarify in young minds about what the Racine offers and what the job market might be.
Exactly. And Brian, I can tell you, we couldn't go back to the traditional model. We're people fought tooth and nail for us to change this, and we did this about 4 years ago. And once we got it off the ground, we're now, that's the only thing the kids know. And that's the type of experience that we want kids to get. And so I'm really proud that we have been able to graduate our first class from that this past year.
That's terrific.
Dr. Galleon, it's hard to even imagine what you and your colleagues faced in terms of challenges in finishing up this previous school year as COVID-19 descended. Just give us some sense of the dimensions of those challenges and what that's meant in terms of helping prepare you and everybody with Racine Unified for what's going to be coming with the start of a new school year this fall.
Quite honestly, it definitely exposed our weaknesses. And we definitely have some challenges, whether it be the gaps that we had in technology for students, the training that we had available for our staff, in terms of just getting them ready for remote learning. But it also gave us an opportunity. It gave us an opportunity to prepare for what the new, teaching and learning will look like. Because quite honestly, teaching and learning will not be the same in the fall. And so this just gave us an opportunity to prepare for that. And so that's what we're working on right now.
And I know when we started going through that transition as well, Dr. Galleon, it was like, we thought we had enough time, right? Because this was back in April. We figured, well, our plan is really in August. So, but you know what? It's already middle of July and we're getting ready for that next phase coming back. So I imagine it was kind of a short runway for a lot of your staff. And I just want to acknowledge your team because they continue to be engaged in the community conversations and they're really helping to expose some additional opportunities that might be out there for Gateway to partner with Racine Unified or for Racine Unified to help extend greater services to their families.
Yeah, we have about 400 people working on this plan.
Yeah, and it takes that many, doesn't it? There's a lot of elements to it.
Exactly.
Terrific.
Well, speaking of lots of elements, there's lots of elements to what Jonathan Delagrave has been contending with, too, as Racine County Executive. And, of course, Mr. Delagrave, one of the steepest challenges you face is that so much of what you and your colleagues deal with touches on every facet of this community, and each one of them experiencing COVID-19 in its own particular way, and everybody with their own particular opinion on how this should be done. Give us some sense of how you and your staff have navigated through these really challenging waters, especially when it comes to trying to serve all of these different constituencies.
Yeah, thanks, Greg. First and foremost, like Gateway and like our largest school district here in Racine County, Racine Unified School District, we're a unique service. Most of the services that we provide, probably 90% of them are those who are individuals or families who are in need. So that could be mental health, child protective services, our mental health, our sheriff's office, employment. So, that's a kind of a baseline on, who we serve. And really it's about trying to listen to all sides of every issue, right? And then putting yourself in the shoes of those who are in the particular situation. So obviously, if you look at somebody who's in need of mental health or who's in need of employment, they're you want to see and you want to know about the hurdles that they face. And sometimes they're as dire as, just you know, putting food on the table for their families, or trying to put their children in the best environment possible. So, and then also it's really collaborating with partners like Gateway and Dr. Albrecht and Unified and Dr. Galleon. The more partners you can get on board, the more confidence, the more momentum you can gain to really tackle heavy lifts or bigger issues. So that's kind of how we do it. Every county executive is different, but I look at my role as, you know, one of my roles is bringing people together, trying to bring in partnerships and solve things together.
Yeah, Jonathan, you raise a really good point that every county executive, every county, every municipality, they all respond differently. I'm always intrigued with the fact that you have to take advice from so many different levels, right? You've got your health experts, you've got the state officials, and there's so many dynamics to all of that. So how do you filter all of that? I mean, how do you create a decision point when you've got, you know, Madison is giving you directions, the federal office is giving you directions, and I know that, you know, the city health department is giving direction, and you have to kind of sort it out because whatever you say is what people tend to want to follow, right?
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, I'm lucky to have a lot of people who are smarter than me working at Racine County. So first and foremost, but second of all, you know, you try to rely on your experts. You try to rely on then taking that advice and information, and then putting that what is best for Racine County, what is best for Gateway, what is best for the school district, and then making the best decision you can with the information you have. But, you know, again, I facetiously said that I have a lot of smart people around me, but I really do, and getting their input is really critical.
I'm curious, too, speaking of input, how much communication you have with your counterparts in other counties, or is there just not enough time for that, especially at this point in time where there are so many important decisions that have to be made so quickly? Is there time for you to be reaching out to other county executives to kind of compare practices and so on?
Absolutely. I'm lucky enough to sit on the executive board of the Wisconsin Counties Association. It's a 21 board member made up of a number of leaders throughout the state of Wisconsin involved in county government. So we're able to share a lot of best practices there. And then just from a Kenosha perspective, you know, I look at County Executive Cruiser in Kenosha County as kind of a mentor. He's been in his position a lot longer than I am, and he's a lot older than me, by the way, too. But he's really also given me a lot of guidance as well, and so I appreciate that. So, yeah, there's definitely time, and, you know, we don't have all the answers in Racine County, and, you know, we have no problem stealing other people's ideas and plans and making them our own, for sure.
Yeah, it's really a good point. So I'm going to send Jim Cruiser the link to this program, Jonathan, for you saying that. But I just want to acknowledge the fact that sometimes audiences, community members, they hear perspectives because there might be a story out of Milwaukee or a story out of Waukesha. And so the assumption is that, well, how come we're not doing that? And so you make a really good point that you've got to really rely on local expertise in order to make those decisions, because everything has a ripple effect, right? So you're weighing out lots of different scenarios. Pandemic is one thing, right? We're also working on making sure that when a storm comes through that we have protection there, and we've got all kinds of different initiatives that are taking place at the same time, and you have to balance all of those decision points.
Exactly. And as much as we like to have that communication with other counties, you know, Racine County has a lot of uniqueness to it that Kenosha County is different. And so it is really trying to capture, you know, what is in the best interest of Racine County, and a lot of times that is going to be different than what is in the best interest of Kenosha County. So it's kind of weighing that out. But, you know, ultimately, I just go back to building partnerships and building collaboration, getting this to, you know, we're all in this together. And if we're all in this together, you know, I believe that 100% of the time, the right decision is made.
There you go.
For those of you just joining us, today is the monthly visit of Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College, and with him on the morning show today, Jonathan Delagrave, Racine County Executive, and Dr. Eric Gallion, Superintendent of the Racine Unified School District. We, of course, are talking today more than anything about how the county and the school district are contending with the challenges of the COVID-19 pandemic. Mr. Delagrave, from the perspective of Racine County, what do the numbers look like right now in terms of what we're experiencing with the pandemic? And do those numbers give us any sense about where this is headed?
Well, first and foremost, Greg, thanks for that question. COVID-19 is going to be with us for a while. I mean, that is a fact for sure. And in June, we kind of flattened in Racine County, which is good. But unfortunately, we're seeing statewide, nationally, and in Racine County, things start to rise again. So, and that's really no surprise, again, given what we've seen both nationally and state. But, you know, it's imperative that we're listening to our health departments. It's imperative that we're being vigilant as best we can, taking care of ourselves and each other. You know, stay at home when you're sick. You know, practice that good hygiene, social distancing. But we are seeing a rise. And, you know, we have to take it upon ourselves, personal responsibility, to make sure that we're doing what we can to get that flattened out as soon as possible.
Can you give us some sense when we're talking about rising numbers in Racine County? Do you have a pretty good sense of where those numbers are rising in particular? I mean, are we talking about rising numbers, especially in the city or out west in the county, or is it kind of in general that we're seeing numbers up?
You know, we have a heat map, and generally we're seeing it in pockets of the city of Racine and then pockets out west in Burlington. Those are our two hot areas. You know, we can attribute to reasons for both. You know, we have a heavy meatpacking plant or industry out in Burlington. And so, you know, we see people working in close proximity to each other. Just because of the need of the job. So we see a lot of COVID cases out there. And then with the city, you know, we see cases in the city of Racine as well. We just need to make sure that, you know, people are, you know, when they are out or have to be out, that they're trying to do best in terms of social distance.
Very good. Dr. Gallion, this is not easy for the school district to figure out, and a lot of different challenges to contend with. And of course, part of the special challenge of the Racine Unified School District versus, for instance, an entity like Gateway or Carthage or whatever, is that you're talking about youngsters, elementary school aged, all the way up through high school. And education, of course, looks very different as you proceed through the grades. And also we're talking about youngsters of widely varying ages with very different needs coming out of very, very different situations. Give us some sense about some of the challenges that you and your colleagues face in terms of trying to give support to teachers and parents and such a wide range of students right now.
So one of our biggest learning curves this spring was that we realized that we had a variety of challenges out there. And so those challenges range from the access to technology to structured time. You know, so with elementary students, you have to provide very structured time. And even with high school students, you have to provide very structured time. So we've learned from that. Unfortunately, the spring was about enrichment, and so we really didn't have to respond as quickly to that. But our biggest response right now is to prepare for that for the fall, so that when we go remote, we are very structured. And so the structure comes in the form of the time on task to the what's asked for the expectation, what's going to be provided as support for the families. And so we realize already that many of our families won't have the technical knowledge, and we can't expect our teachers to provide that technical knowledge. So we'll have to provide a call-in center. And so we're preparing for that. And so it's a very challenging time, because you have to plan for every various level in the organization. But at the same time, it gives you an opportunity. It gives you an opportunity to create and create something that we've been trying to create for years. And so I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a challenge for us, but I think it's going to be an opportunity.
You raised some really good points, Dr. Gehling. Same kind of scenario at Gateway, although maybe a little different in some of the contexts. As an example, we didn't have to worry about busing transportation, right? Our students are adults, so they drive in and drive out, and so we didn't have that issue. We don't have a food service program. You have a food service program. So there's a lot of different dynamics, especially at the unique grade levels that go along with it. But in general, as an example for Gateway, we had always had about 30% of our programs that had some sort of online experience, might be hybrid, might be an independent online course. And that was pretty consistent for probably the last 10 years, a decade, right? Instantly, it bumped up to 50%. That will most likely be the new threshold for us. And some programs throughout the summer have really elevated to 70 or 80% with a hybrid online experience. So we're just like you going like, the systems were there. We didn't leverage them to the full capacity, which gives us an opportunity to reach more families, because we can now customize the experience. We can give people the learning environment that they need when they need it, and we can support it with other types of services. So you mentioned a call-in center, so technical support services that'll benefit not only the student, but also probably the whole family, the parents and everyone that are going to be sort of upskilled in this area.
Right.
Mr. Delagrave, one of the biggest issues that has been raised by COVID-19, particularly as it relates to the school district, but not limited to them, is the whole matter of who has access to the internet. And I know this has been a concern before, but it becomes an acute concern now. Tell us about the kind of challenge and opportunity that this current situation presents to Racine County.
Well, let me just start out with one basic fact. The number one reason why individuals, especially in some of our socioeconomic distressed areas, don't have sustainable employment is they don't have internet connectivity. So we started really focusing on increasing the connectivity part of this last year as part of our Digital Counties initiative. But this year during COVID-19, We you know, I think everybody understands the disparities in the internet service became even more glaring. We know that our minority populations contracted COVID more than our non-minority populations. So being able to have remote medical care, you know, being able to see a medical professional from your home through internet connectivity was a big gap as well. So the unemployed individuals without health insurance have the greatest need for healthcare and emergency services really within Racine County. Yet again, they're also the most socially isolated in Racine County with COVID-19. So how are you able to give them in some cases just the needed services to have a quality of life, and then starting to build, climbing the ladder to be able to get sustainable employment. So the challenge became huge, and with our partners at Gateway, you know, I was able to work with Dr. Albrecht. I wasn't even 30 seconds into the conversation with our human services director, and he was like, yep, we're on board. This fits our mission. We know that this would be a great benefit to Gateway as well. So this, we believe, you know, will start the ball rolling and gather momentum so everybody can have connectivity. We know our work's not done, and we know that this project also does create and gives devices for families and individuals who are distressed to be able to get on the internet as well. But this is really a start of what I think is something big, and hopefully we will conquer the challenge and get everybody connected to the internet so they can live a better quality of life, essentially.
Yeah, I just want to compliment Jonathan and the team in the Human Services Department there in Racine County, because we can talk about things, you know, forever, but to take action and do something takes courage. And so to help us better understand where the gaps are in our county and how we can increase access points, and it's the same at Gateway, right? So we would think that everyone would have connectivity because we're a college. It's not true. Some areas of our community and some of our faculty have weak connections. That means students have poor connections. Some students can't afford it, even if there was a connecting activity there. So we've leveraged the Federal CARES Act to help support students financially. We bought hotspots so people could put them in their homes, gave computers out to students, and we'll continue to do that because it is more prevalent than people would recognize that there are points of no connectivity, and then there are points of opportunity that has not been leveraged effectively as a community. So Jonathan deserves a lot of credit for helping us bring that to the forefront, and we're proud to be a partner with it.
Mr. Delagrave, I wish we had more time to really talk about this in great detail, but at least in summary fashion, can you kind of explain the components or elements that are part of an expanded Wi-Fi network? I mean, what are we talking about? What has to be in place to you're talking about?
Yeah, really quickly, Greg, it's just we're able to have more access points through basically an antenna on key areas of all over Racine County. This is just not a city of Racine. It's also west of the I as well, west of I-94. So more access points for people or residents to connect and offer another avenue toward, again, whether it's medical care or accessing family employment jobs or being able to do distance learning, like with Unified or other school districts. That's essentially what it is. It's just bridging that gap of connectivity.
Hmm. Yeah, and so it's pretty amazing, Greg. So one of the things that we were able to do was put antennas on all of the Gateway buildings. So we're able to spread out our Wi-Fi network from just being in the lobby of one of our buildings to the parking lot and some neighborhoods around it. So increased accessibility by simply putting a booster antenna on top of the building. Now, strategically, if we think about what if you put an antenna on top of a library, or if you put one on top of a workforce development center, a county building, how much more capacity could you reach? And then if there are some employers that might be listening to it, what if you were able to network this public-private partnership and really begin to build a comprehensive strategy around the use of technology by simply putting antennas up? Now, I say simply, there's a lot behind it, as Jonathan would know, but it can be done is what I'm saying is, and we can leverage the investments that our communities have already made in broadband and now create greater points of access for all citizens.
And of course, Mr. Delagrave, that speaks directly to the whole matter of supporting workforce services. I mean, this could make a huge difference in the lives of all kinds of different people who are either part of the workforce or wanting to enter the workforce.
Absolutely. You know, I look at it as if we truly want to lift up all residents of our community and have a better quality of life and be a healthier county and a healthier community, projects like this digital divide initiative that the county is taking up. And I should mention this Racine Unified School District buying their hotspots as well is, you know, helps with all this. It's really important part of being able to do that. So, you know, it's going to help with our present, but, you know, it's definitely going to be something that in the future we'll be able to build on.
Right. I know for a lot of us, we learned when you suddenly couldn't go to McDonald's or Panera to find Wi-Fi when you were out and about or whatever. I mean, when the doors were closed to places like that we took completely for granted, you shut the doors and suddenly you're realizing, I depended on this in a way that I did not realize until this moment when I can't access that anymore. Are you seeing, Mr. Delagrave, the possibility that someday we're going to look at at internet connection the same way we look at having running water, having electricity? I mean, do you want to see where it's seen as that fundamental to our lives?
Yeah, I think it's already there, and that's why those who don't have that opportunity or have that capacity or resources, it's just like not having water or not being able to heat your house. I look at it exactly the same way. We all need to look at it in that way, shape, or form. I don't want to speak for Dr. Galleon, but if some of his families don't have connectivity, learning, not just distance learning, but being able to go home and get online and be able to do some of your homework or get better grades, that's a big part of it. So it's exactly like running water or heating your house.
Hmm.
Yeah, there's so much talk about work at home strategies, right? And we're doing a lot of that as well. But in order for that to work, you've got to have good, strong connectivity. So I think Jonathan's absolutely right. Whether it's educate at home, work at home, or receive the services that we know are important, like medical services, first responder services, that's the kind of infrastructure that communities are building and growing. And unfortunately, it took a pandemic for us to recognize that. And now that we recognize it, taking action is the first step.
So Dr. Galleon, let's return to Racine Unified and the challenge of delivering at least quite a lot of what you will be delivering this fall in online fashion. What kind of preparations have been underway to prepare your teachers for what they're going to need to deliver now this fall?
Yeah, so just to piggyback off of what Jonathan and Brian have said, I definitely see that online services is utility. It's just basic a utility right now. And then that's what we need to provide to our families. But just to go beyond that, for our teachers, we have spent the entire spring and the summer training every teacher on how to use an online platform. So what does that look like? How to use the actual device, how to use the actual platform itself, how to engage with that and to get certified. And so we have worked with them over the past 3 or 4 months to get certified in Google Classroom as a baseline so that they have a baseline understanding of how to engage with students online. And so we expect every teacher when we come back to be at a baseline level. And then we want to build on that as we go.
Yeah, I just want to just acknowledge the fact that our teachers are doing a remarkable job because as a teacher or a college instructor, it's not just one technology platform, right? So we use Blackboard for all of our record keeping. That's a whole system of knowledge that an instructor has to have, similar to what a high school or a school district is implementing. But then there's the content knowledge. So it might be an e-learning platform in science and a different type of e-learning platform in math. And so teachers have to be really flexible in learning a lot of different software programs, manipulating, and then communicating it in a new fashion, whether it's 100% online or whether some of it's virtual like this, and acknowledging how do we bring students into an engaging experience through a video conference, and then linking other video experiences into that so that students can manipulate their learning environment. And it's a huge upskilling of teachers. So a big shout out to all those that are doing that hard work.
Right.
And we were fortunate over the summer to find out that we had about 1,100 teachers who were already actively using this technology, and they were doing a great job. And so we were hearing great things about it. And so we began to say, well, why not have everyone be trained? So we did that, and that's where we're at right now. So we anticipate that every teacher will have a Google certification going into the new year.
Wow. And just to be clear, Dr. Galleon, my understanding is hard and fast decisions about what will happen in the fall have yet to be made and are most likely going to be made yet this, a little later this month. Is that right? Is that the hope?
Exactly. So we anticipate announcing our reentry plan at the end of the month.
Well, it's been a learning experience for all of you. 30 seconds. Do you have a favorite lesson that you and your colleagues have learned through all of this?
Well, I've really experienced the commitment of our staff. Like they have gone over and beyond the call of duty, and I realize how much it takes a village to raise a child. It really does. And so we've experienced that firsthand.
For sure. Mr. Delagrave, let's finish with you. What guidance or advice would you offer up to the people of Racine County, whether they are private citizens or business owners or those who are part of the schools, as we move through the rest of the summer and into the fall? What do we need to be thinking about most?
Well, we have a slogan at Racine County that we're Racine County Resilient, and that has really shown through since March, middle of March, when this pandemic started here in Racine County. But I would go back to kind of what I said before. You know, it's about personal responsibility, taking care of yourself, family, friends, and even acquaintances or strangers. It's about, you know, being in this together, you know, wearing the face masks when necessary, keeping the social distance. You know, that's what we're saying. And then we have a Rebound Racine County report that we put out for our businesses, nonprofits. It was we got input from all different sectors of our economy. You know, rely on that, reach out to Racine County, but really it's that personal responsibility that I want to emphasize moving into the fall. And, you know, I wish Eric, Dr. Galleon, good luck. You know, you asked the question before about getting opinions from every which way, and I know Dr. Galleon's going to experience that when he makes those decisions on opening Unify. But we're behind you, Dr. Galleon, and we know what you're going to do, what's best for the children of our community.
Very good. A closing thought, President Albrecht, 30 seconds or so.
Yeah, well, I just thanks Jonathan and Eric for being part of our program today. We know that there will continue to be unanswered questions, but to know that we have the guidance from the two of you leading our two largest institutions, our county and, of course, our school district. Gateway is also a partner in this experience, so we're here to help support and serve our community and our educators as much as we possibly can. As a remind our staff here that we will open and we will serve students, and we want to do it in the best way possible. The only way to get there is for each of us to stay safe. So follow the guidelines of the CDC. Make sure that you're taking good care of yourself, because we can't do our work if you're not here helping us. And I think that it would be the good advice for our entire community. Collectively, together, we're going to be able to solve this issue.
Very good. Jonathan Delagrave, Racine County Executive, thank you so much, sir, for making
thank
time
you.
For this conversation. Dr. Eric Galleon, Superintendent of the Racine Unified School District, very good to have you with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And, of course, Brian Albrecht, the President of Gateway Technical College, thank you for today's program and best wishes to you.
You're welcome, Greg. Thank you.
I'm Gregory Berg. Tomorrow on the morning show, a couple of different interviews, including one with best-selling author Robert Weintraub, talking about his latest book, which is titled The Divine Miss Marble, A Life of Tennis, Fame, and Mystery. His book is a carefully researched and well-written chronicle and portrait of the legendary Alice Marble,
the finest woman tennis player of her generation, just before World War II, and a fascinating life lived even off the tennis court. Her story tomorrow. Support for the WGTD Morning Show comes from Jack and Drea, Kenosha's hometown store since 1911. Their doors may currently be closed, but they have not lost their hometown spirit. Visit jackanddrea.com to shop their exclusive hometown collection, including Kenosha t-shirts,